If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open with me to Luke chapter 15. And I just want to say just a few words about our welcome here to College Station in Texas. My wife and I and four children made our journey from North Carolina 2 weeks ago. And some of you have asked how we're settling in, and we are now settled in, and remember, none of the places where we put everything. So we are right in that normal flow. You guys have been so wonderful. So I just want to say thank you to the men who helped us move in. Thank you for your backs and your biceps. Thank you for all of the meals and the cards and all of the helpful advice, and to the specifically two families whose children made bracelets for our children, huge thank you. If it's a path to a man's heart is through his stomach, the path to a father's heart is through his kids. And so thank you, not just for loving on us, but also for loving on our children. And so I just want to say thank you for all those things. And I'm looking forward to getting to know many of you over the upcoming weeks and months and years. And this, if you are here for the first time, welcome. This is my first time. And so we can be first timers together. When I was growing up, I went to South Mebane Elementary School. And I remember having to go to the library for a good hour a week or so, and we were always asked to read books. And I didn't like reading, and God thought that was funny. So for the rest of my life, I read and read and read. But in elementary school, I would try to find the book with the least amount of words and spend that time doing anything at all that I could except reading. And so my favorite book, one of my favorite books, was this one. For 30 minutes, I would not read, but I would look for that guy right there, Where's Waldo? Anybody else like some Waldos? Yes. It was the best book because all you had to do was hunt and find, seek after, search after Waldo. And they do an incredible job of making that quite hard to do. And so it was my quest as a first, second, third grader. By fourth grade, you got to kind of move on. You know what I'm saying? But in those early years, it was my quest to try to find Waldo. Just a few minutes ago, Gavin read for you how, or at least examples of how a shepherd seeks after a lost sheep. How a woman who had lost a coin seeks after that coin. And over the next few weeks, these 2 weeks before we get into 1 Peter as an entire church, we have two Sundays where I've called them Vision Sundays, just where you get to see, especially if you're new to town, you're new to Texas A&M, you're new to the area, you get 2 weeks of getting to know a little bit more about Grace Bible Church and us here at Creekside. And so what I want to do is begin with this major mission that we have. And it's not to find Waldo, but this is our mission, to help people find and follow Jesus. To help people find and follow Jesus. And what we're going to do today is find out and see an example, a parable given by our Lord Jesus Christ about how the Father finds two of his own sons. So let's look first together at the father who finds the sinful son. If you notice, and you can look with me down in verse number 11, chapter 15, verse number 11, this is how the parable begins. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. This is the first son, and some of you will relate more with this first son, and some of you will relate with the second son. In both cases, the sons are lost. You might feel lost a little bit today. You might be here and you're new to town and just getting around town. You feel a little lost. Some of you have entered a new season in life, and maybe that comes through a new relationship, and maybe that lostness, that kind of freshness, or you're just not quite sure what to do came through a new diagnosis. There's any number of ways in which we can feel lost in life. And this young son is in the dangerous situation where he doesn't know just how lost he is. Notice how the parable begins. There's a man with two sons, and this younger son says, "Father, give me the portion of the inheritance or the property that is coming to me." This would normally never take place during a father's lifetime. The father would normally die, and then the portions would be broken out to the children. And however, this younger son comes to dad, and he says to dad, "Father, I don't really care what happens into the future. What I want right now is your stuff. I want the property. I want your goods. I want your resources." This would be the fun party son. This would be the one who says, some have taken it to the point of saying that he wishes his father was dead. And I don't know if that's quite the right angle, but what I will say is this, the son is saying to dad, "I don't care what you do. I just want what's rightfully mine, and I want to go out and live my own life. I want to make my own way, and I want to do it without your supervision, and I want to do it without your input, and I want to do it without anything to do with you. In fact, just give me what's coming to me, give me the resources, and let me make my own way." And amazingly, the father does it. He actually gives it to him. He gives him his property. It says there in verse 12, he divides his property between them. And not many days later, the young man gathered all that he had and took a journey. What I want you to see, many of us love kind of rags to riches stories, but in this case, you're gonna get to see the riches to rags story. For the one who thinks they know better than God, the one who thinks that they know better than how to live the life and how to enjoy this world to the greatest possible way, oftentimes we wreck it. We make a fall. We stumble. And this son is going to stumble in a number of ways. Number one, he says, "I would rather be fatherless than to have to live with you." He becomes fatherless. He runs away from the relationship that he has with dad. Number two, he becomes homeless. Notice he takes his journey into a far country. However he liquidates all of those assets, whether he sells off the property or gives away the sheep, he collects all that he can. He gets as much as he can and he leaves home. Some of you are just now recently away from home. You're here at college and you know, you're being able to enjoy all those good freedoms and things. Just be careful. Just be careful. Because this type of freedom can draw you near to the Father or it can lead you away. In this case, the son becomes fatherless. He becomes homeless. And as he squanders his property, it says here, as he takes a journey into a far country, he squanders his property in reckless living. In other words, this guy didn't have a plan. He didn't have a business venture. He wasn't going to, you know, create some new industry. He didn't have a dream in his head or a, you know, kind of a focus in his heart. He wasn't going to try to make a new path and start a new venture. No, he just wanted to go have lots and lots and lots of fun. And he squanders it. He lets it all go. He moves quickly through all the resources that he had, and he says it's in reckless living. In other words, he becomes penniless. And what wasn't his fault starts in verse 14, when it says, "And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need." You can imagine reckless living makes you appear like you have lots of friends, right? You're paying for everybody's drinks. You're paying for everybody's food. Maybe you're hosting everybody at where you're paying the rent on the property. And everybody loves you, man. Everybody is on board. They think this guy from out of town is awesome. But wait for a famine to come when everybody else has to tighten their belts. When everybody else around you doesn't have extra to give to you, guess who gets left out in the cold? This young man wastes all of his money. He keeps nothing in reserve. He cuts off all access to back home. And when the famine comes, he's left in want. He's fatherless. He's homeless. He's penniless. And finally, you find out he's friendless. Notice how the story or his kind of fall ends. It says here in verse 15, so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. This is like for a Jewish man to have to feed swine was the bottom. It was the bottom you could go. He's hit the bottom. This is the ground floor. In fact, one rabbi wrote it something like this. He said, cursed be the man who would have to feed and breed swine. So Jesus is telling a parable of a guy who had it all and absolutely loses everything. He gets down to the point where not only is he feeding pigs, but he sees them eating and he longs. He has this hunger drive that he's longing to be fed with the pods. But notice how it's left with you there. No one gave him anything. In other words, he has overseers or managers who are overseeing his work. And even if he were to try to take a little pod from these pigs, the manager's like, ah, man, that's for them. We don't care about you. In life, life can leave you high and dry. Can't it? Some of you have been there. Maybe you're there right now. You feel like looking back, you've had it all. You had good relationships. You had a place that you could call home. There were friends. You had some support, some resources. And just through your own sinfulness, all of that has been wiped away. Friend, there is no greater place to be than right here, right now. Because this is not how the story ends. Notice what this younger son does. It says in verse number 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. We'll just stop right there. He repents. That's the word. It's two things that are really happening. He recognizes his situation. Notice that it says when he came to himself, when he gets this recognition, and hard times will put this in front of you. There's nothing like a good famine. There's nothing like a good hardship. There's nothing like a failed, you know, course or a diagnosis. There's nothing like a broken relationship to make you check yourself and think, what am I doing here? Why am I living this way? And so what happens to this young man is he comes to himself and he recognizes not that he's lost everything. The focus is not on, you know, oh no, look at all that I've lost. I've lost all the property. It says he pays attention to what he has done. He says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. He really becomes sorrowful for what he's done, not just that he's lost it all. You know, we can have worldly sorrow and hate that we lost that job or hate that we ruined that relationship, hate that we broke that trust, hate that we made that promise and didn't keep it. We can have worldly sorrow that we lost a lot of money or we made a bad investment. We can have lots of worldly sorrow that we blew it, but real repentance, real life change begins with this. you realize that you've sinned against heaven and against other people. It's both. You've disobeyed the Father and you've hurt others. And this younger son gets there. So many don't get there, but he got there. He got to the point where he realized, man, what I need is not more of this foreign country. What I need to do is go home to my good and gracious dad. I need to come back to God. That's what Jesus is saying. And so the younger son does. And what you see now is no longer the fall of his selfishness, but you get to see the grace of the Father. Notice how the Father begins to interact with him in verse number 20. It says, the son arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. English has a hard time of getting to just how emotionally impactful this little verse is. When it gets to the point where the son is coming back, the father sees him afar off and he runs to him. This would not have been a normal thing. Jewish men don't run. American men rarely run. Let's just be honest about it. But we wear pants or shorts. They had, robes. So you would have had to pick it up. You would have probably looked goofy. You hadn't done this in a decade. But the father picks up his robe, runs to his son, and then it says embraces, but really, if you were to, the idea is that he falls on his neck. The son's been rehearsing this story in his head. He's been rehearsing, Dad, how am I going to say this just right? How am I going to, just make sure that I actually get an audience? How do I make sure that a servant or maybe my own brother doesn't block my way? The father breaks through all that, runs to him, falls on his neck, and it says, kissed him. But the real heart of that is that he just keeps kissing him, just keeps on doing it. It's a kind of a continuous thing. In other words, I just want you to see that the father goes to the son. When you realize that you're a sinner, when you realize that you have messed up your life, nobody's gonna mess your life up more than you will. Others can hurt you, absolutely. Others are gonna do wrong by you, absolutely. But nobody is gonna do wrong more to you than you're gonna do. Nobody's caused me more trouble than me. That's how it is with all of us. But in this case, the father doesn't wait for the son to make the full shameful walk. The father goes to the son. And when you get to the point of realizing just how much you've sinned against God, you should know that the Father's coming after you. And he is a good and gracious Father. He runs to him. And then, verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father doesn't let him finish the speech. It just says in verse 22, and the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, bring a ring for his hand, bring shoes for his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. You get to see two things. The father goes to the son. Number two, he blesses him. Gives him the best robe. This wouldn't have been like, hey, go get his old clothes. They had special robes for honored guests. So, these would have been kept in special places. He goes and gets the best of the robes, puts it on the son. Almost no slaves had sandals. Father says, bring out the good stuff. Give him a ring. Many of you Aggies wear your rings. You know what? You know how many people wear their rings in North Carolina? Nobody. Nobody wears their rings. Bring him the ring. I want the world to know he not only is in the family, he has authority in this family. He's an honored son. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God receives you. Makes you a son, although you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. He makes you a daughter, although you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And he blesses and blesses and blesses. It's not that he reluctantly welcomes you back. He celebrates you. They kill the fatted calf. Back then, most meals, unlike our meals, were not made with meat. They didn't eat meat at every meal. We eat meat at every meal. And your barbecue brisket is delicious. They didn't eat meat often. That was money, right? You can sell these calves. But every once in a while, they would fatten one up really good for a big celebration. And the father says, go get that one. Go get that one. We want to celebrate today. And that's exactly what they did. And so maybe you're here today, and listen, this is you. They end by rejoicing. Listen, maybe you are, or you are thinking, you're brand new to town, you're like, I can't wait to live, just go wild. I cannot wait to enjoy my freedom. I'm away from mom and dad. I don't have to do what they want to do. I'm here this morning because maybe they're moving me in this week or whatever. But as soon as they leave, I'm going to go and enjoy life. Don't blow it. It's not going to end well. The father loves sinful sons, sinful daughters. But that doesn't mean you have to go all the way to the pig pen before you turn around. And remember, these are parables. We're not actually trying to, you're not going to go and waste your father's, I mean, maybe you will, but you're not planning to go and waste all your family inheritance and you're going to come back to a father who's going to throw you a party with brisket. This is a story that represents that we, made in God's image, all chose to go our own way, to tell the God of all creation, hey, thanks for all you've given me, but I want to go and live my own life, and I want to do it without your input, and I want to enjoy your stuff more than you. Thanks, I'll take my own way. But when you turn around and you realize that you're a sinner, the Father ran to you. He ran to me because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again the third day. He ran to us, and for anyone who puts their faith in this Jesus, there is new life, and there is rejoicing, and there is authority and responsibility, and he gives you new life. We are lost and are found. How great is that? We were dead and now are alive. So, God loves the sinful son. But you know who else he loves? He loves the self-righteous son. Notice the second half of the story. Everybody likes to end right there, but that's really not where Jesus ends, because there's another portion of people in the world. Not everybody goes, you know, and parties their inheritance away. Verse 25 tells us another story. Now the older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked, what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come and your father's killed the fatted calf because he's received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him? You get to see this self-righteous son. You get to hear his voice, right? You get to hear his little lecture to dad. If the first son has a fall, you get to see the second son. It's a deceived rise, but you get to feel him like bow up on dad. And he does it in four ways. You hear it in four different things. The first thing he says to dad is this, I'm your slave. It begins in verse 29. It's a little more clear in Greek, but it's said like this. He answered his father, look, these many years I have served you. Literally, look these many years how I have slaved away for you. The older son's mad. because he feels like he's been done dirty. You remember going to school and you stay up all night and you write that paper and the teacher comes in the next day and is like, oh, I'm sorry, a few of you had a hard time. You know what? Let's just move the due date to Friday. And you're like, no, no, I'm so tired right now because I wrote the paper and they deserve the zero. Let's make the due date right now. Any of you, you don't have to raise your hand. We know you. Everybody else is like, praise God for grace. Grace is amazing. If you relate to that first student, this part's probably more for you. The servant or the son doesn't think of himself as a son as much as he thinks of himself as a slave. God's a master. If I do the right things, if I just slave away for him, if I just go to church, if I just read my Bible, everything's going to turn out right. Everything's going to turn out the way it should. I'm going to do my duty. He's going to do his duty. This is just a transaction. And he feels like a slave. Number two, you read in verse number 29 here. I've never disobeyed. Really? Little self-righteousness coming out right there. Selective memory. Never disobeyed. Number three, he says it, he doesn't say quite, I deserve your love, but he says it like this. This is verse, still 29. You never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. This younger brother has come home and you kill the fatted calf, more valuable. And this older brother says, look, you never even gave me a young goat. Young goats aren't, you know, as juicy. They're not as tender. They haven't been fattened up yet. And he's just saying, look, if you, I deserve the love, Dad. I'm the one that deserves the party. I'm the one that deserves to be celebrated. This guy lost everything. What are you doing? In fact, this is how it ends. He just says, you're stupid. Look at it. I mean, he doesn't quite say it like that, but he does. Verse 30, but when this son of yours, not my brother, but when this son of yours came, he's devoured your property with prostitutes. You killed the fatted calf for him. That's dumb, Dad. I could do it better. You'll know when you're struggling with self-righteousness, when other people get blessed and you don't, and you get mad at God about it. When your heart gets a little angry, you kind of feel that internal part of you just kind of bowing up and thinking, this is not just, this is not right, this isn't true, I deserve more than them. You know, the sad part about both of these sons is that neither one really knew their dad. You can tell the first one doesn't know, the younger one doesn't know his dad. He leaves, he thinks his dad's so restrictive and so selfish, and it's only later he realizes just how generous and gracious dad is. The sadder one is the one who's been in the house the whole time. This self-righteous older brother has been near the dad, has been near the father, but he doesn't know him any better than the younger son. You can be here this morning and you could have grown up in church your whole life. You could be on serve teams, you could be in small groups or Bible studies. You can know this book backward and forward and you can still not know the father. Is that you today? You know the trouble with the Pharisees? That's who this is for. Remember back chapter 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. It was hard work to be a Pharisee. It was hard work to be a scribe. They had done duty after duty. They had memorized all of portions of the Torah, right? They had worked really, really hard, and they looked on the outside like they were really close to the Father, really close. But when they see Jesus welcoming in people who were so distant, so far away, the tax collectors and the prostitutes and all of those, when they come in and are shown grace, it reveals in the Pharisee that their nearness to God wasn't out of a love for the Father. It was a lot of duty keeping. They were just keeping their duty. They were doing the hard thing. They were grinding it out. It was a burden. And they were so upset that these others were getting to come to God and not have to carry the burden. Jesus just tells them the story to let them know, just as the Father came to the sinful Son, he comes for them. Notice again the grace of the Father. Just like with the sinner, in verse number 27. Your brother has come. Your father's killed the fatted calf, received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. Just as the father ran to the younger son, he goes to the older son. Just as the father shows grace to the younger, he's showing grace to the older. It doesn't matter if you have just kind of gone all off the deep end, or if you're extremely moral and righteous, you've lived a life that's pretty acceptable, you know, your name is held pretty high in the community. It doesn't matter. The father is coming after you. And he encourages him and he reassures him. He says in verse number 31, he says, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." What he does remind him of is this. In this day, the older son always got a double portion. So if you were to divide an inheritance, it's not 50-50. It's like 2/3 older son, 1/3 younger son. And so he just tells him, look, the deal still stands. Everything is yours. You will get it all. Your brother got his portion. He blew it. And he's not going to get any more of yours. You have no need to be concerned about that. In other words, sin always has its consequences. It always leaves its scars. God's grace is true, and it does forgive, but that doesn't mean you get to bypass all the consequences. And he tells the older son, look, everything I have is yours. But he does correct him here in verse number 20 or 32. He says, it is fitting. In other words, it is right. Literally, it is necessary to celebrate and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found. Father loves the self-righteous son. Now, what does that mean for you and I? Everyone in this room, we're one of these two sons or a mixture. Maybe you're in between. Maybe you're like that middle son that got left out of the story. Sorry, all middle children. God loves you. Here's the first question. Has the Father found you? Listen, we are Grace Bible Church. We want to help people. We can't save you. Only God can do that. But we want to help people find and follow Jesus. In this story, it is the Father who is pursuing the lost sons, the sinful one and the self-righteous one. He is going after them both. And so it doesn't matter today whether you are, you know, you've lived a wild, crazy life, or if you have lived a really moralistic, you know, kind of very conservative life, God is coming after you both. Has he found you? Have you repented of your sins? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Listen, he died on the cross and rose again that you might have a relationship with him, not enjoy his stuff, not enjoy the life that he gave you, not enjoy the health and the intelligence and the giftedness that he's provided to each one of you. Do you have a relationship with him? That's the question. If you don't, there is no greater step today than just to ask him, to bow your head in just a moment, even in your seat, meet with someone in the hallway, but today to give your life to Jesus Christ. Number two, are you following Jesus? If it's our goal to help people find and follow Jesus, are you following him? The QR code will let you know, and I encourage you to scan it now. You can go ahead and do that if you want. You can do this later. Actually, it's gonna go away later, so you better do it now. If you're not following him, one of the greatest ways to do that is to get into a group, to get into a community that can help you belong. This is Connect Sunday here at Creekside, which means we want to help you follow Jesus. And so if you do not have a Bible study that you've connected to, or a in-home small group, or, you know, there's a couple of other groups out in the hallway that you can go and find out about, but one of the greatest ways to help you follow Christ is to not do it alone. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. All throughout the New Testament, there are tons of commands that you must love one another, serve one another, endure one another, and you can't do that by yourself. And so this is just a way for you to find a group that fits your time and your schedule, and we just encourage you to get plugged in. Find a group to belong. And number three, are you helping others find and follow Jesus? This QR code will let you have a list of all the different ministries that you can be a part of, from parking to welcoming to serving coffee to serving in the ministries. You know, we have Grace Kids, we have Grace Youth, there's things for adults and seniors and those who are in college, there's things for those who are in need and the orphan and the widow and anything and everything in between. Just find a place to serve. And if you're like, I wanna help people find and follow Jesus, but I'm just nervous that they're gonna, you know, speak back or they're gonna ask me a question I don't know the answer to. Friend, you realize that the greatest number of unbelievers that ever enter our doors are just down the hallway in this other wing. And you and I get an opportunity to reach out to those kids and youth every Sunday. That's just one group. Don't think that it's not important to smile and welcome people in. Don't think that serving a cup of coffee is beneath us. I would just encourage you, find a place to serve. There's tons of tables outside. Again, you can ask questions. You can, you know, find the thing that works for you. And if you're like, I just can't commit on a certain Sunday, I need something that's a little more flexible, there are flex groups galore. There's meal teams. There's a toolbox team. There's all kinds of things. If you ask me details, I don't know them. But they're out there. Go talk to them. In the end, this is who we are. We want to help people find and follow Jesus. It's all about him. So let's pray together as we conclude. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for finding me. Thank you for the moment that you showed me my own sin. You showed me my need to run back to you. And Lord, thank you for giving your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and rise again the third day to save me. Lord, if there's anyone in this room today watching online 2 weeks from now that doesn't know you as their Savior, may they put their trust, their faith in you right now. May they have a relationship with you. Not just know your name, but know you. And once they do, may you bring alongside them the right group, the right people that will help, support, encourage them, that they might grow and follow. And help us all to not just be disciples, but make disciples. Lord, by your grace, multiply disciples. In And help us to do that by just taking first steps to serve somewhere. So Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for being such a loving Father. And this we pray in Jesus' name, amen.